Scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Psalms. We'll read Psalm 145. Our text is found in the 9th verse. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of all and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is that 9th verse, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, that you and I would praise the Lord for his goodness. That goodness of God is proclaimed in our text, and yet we do not always see that goodness with our weak eyes. We do not always see that goodness, though it is always there. We might not see that goodness when we go through times of trouble. We might not see that goodness when we see controversy in a denomination or in a congregation. We might not always see that goodness, but that doesn't change the truth that the Lord is good to you and to me. The whole alphabet, in fact, is not sufficient to declare all the goodness of God. And I mention the alphabet because the psalmist in this psalm, in the original Hebrew, composes the psalm with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet beginning the next verse. He goes through the whole alphabet minus one letter. We don't know why he skips that one letter. But he goes through the whole alphabet with all these reasons to praise God. He praises God for His mighty acts. He praises God for His glorious kingdom. He praises God for His providential works in all of creation. He praises God for His preserving mercy. And all of those reasons for praising God, we can connect to that central idea of God's goodness. Oh, that you and I would praise Jehovah for His goodness. That's in the middle of the psalm, and in particular in the words of our text, "The Lord is good to all." And my prayer this morning is that when we leave this place, we would have a little better appreciation for that goodness of Jehovah, and that we would go forth with praise for Jehovah in our hearts. Let's consider the text under that theme, the Lord's goodness to all. Let's note the meaning of that goodness to all. Secondly, the reason for His goodness to all. And lastly, the comfort that gives us. There is no question. The text declares it. It's on the surface. The Lord is good to all. But, beloved, you and I must understand the nature of that goodness. And in order to understand the nature of that goodness, we must understand that that goodness does not extend to the reprobate wicked. This is not just a theological truth, something that has no bearing on our lives, but this theology of God's goodness is practical. You see, if God's goodness is shown to every person head for head, that changes the character of the goodness of Jehovah. If it's true that Jehovah is good to Hitler in this lifetime and then changes his goodness and ultimately sends him to the torments of hell, that reflects on the goodness of Jehovah. That tells us something about the character. That means God's goodness is changeable. If Jehovah's goodness is to extended to all, then Jehovah's goodness is extended even to the Antichrist. when he comes, and when he is cast into the torments of hell, then he no longer will see and experience that goodness of Jehovah. So we must understand that this goodness is not to every person head for head. In fact, this very text was used in 1924 to support, or at least to try to support, the error of common grace. They would bring forward this verse and say something like this: "This text proclaims the Lord is good to all, and all means all. And therefore, Jehovah's goodness extends to all men, his grace extends to everyone head for head, such that Jehovah would even in his heart desire to save them all." Well, that reflects on the nature of his goodness too. If in his goodness he desires to save all men, but he cannot do it, that tells us that his goodness is not efficacious. We need to understand that Jehovah's goodness is not extended to the reprobate wicked, so that we will also understand something of the character of that goodness. That's clear. It's clear that Jehovah's goodness is not to everyone head for head. When we take the principles of sound interpretation, when we take a verse that may be not so clear on the surface and we compare it to the rest of Scripture, then we must come away with that conclusion that Jehovah is not good to all men head for head. When we use the principle of sound interpretation, we look at passages such as Psalm 7, verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day, God's settled day-to-day attitude towards those wicked is an attitude of anger, that is, an attitude of indignation against them. He does not show his goodness to them. You could say that's true in an external way. They see that there's a certain goodness of Jehovah that is out there, but they do not experience that personally. God is angry with the wicked every day. Or we could look at a passage such as Proverbs 3, verse 33. It's often said that when a wicked person has great wealth, they might have a fancy house, and someone might say, that's God's goodness to them, that they have such a nice house. Well, if that were true, that is God's goodness to them, then what about when God's people don't have a house, or they have only a small place to stay out in the field? Is that God's goodness to them? Proverbs 3:33 says, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked." That is, his palace, his great big house. The curse of the Lord is in that house. That's not his goodness to them. And on the other hand, the verse continues, "But he blesseth the habitation of the just." Jehovah blesses even that temporary habitation of his people. So whatever the text means, we can come to that conclusion The Lord's goodness is not to everyone head for head. And that's evident from the psalm itself. When in verse 9 we read, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works," later in the very same psalm, the psalmist says, "The Lord preserveth," this is verse 20, "The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy." And we ought to put that together with our verse. The Lord is good to all, but all the wicked He will destroy. So we see, beloved, the wicked reprobate are not the objects of God's goodness as it flows out of Him who is the overflowing fountain of all good. Rather, His goodness is to you and to me. His goodness is shown to us who are the works of His hands. Now, that's the idea of the text. Hebrew poetry often is formed that way. You have one line of a verse, and that same thought is repeated in the next line of that same verse, only from a different perspective. And so the second line informs us about the first. We find that in our text. Verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." We are His works. We are the work of Jehovah's hands. We find that same confession in Isaiah. We are all the work of God's hands. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And that's evident from the text as well. When it speaks of God's mercies, His tender mercies over all His works, we might understand that refers to every work of Jehovah, including the inanimate creation. But if you look at every instance in Scripture where it speaks of God's tender mercies, it always connects those tender mercies towards His people. So, for example, Psalm 103, verse 9, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Jehovah crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. His tender mercies are over His people. Beloved, you and I are the work of the hands of Jehovah. And that's evident as well from the very next verse. Verse 10 in our psalm, "All thy works shall praise thee." That is, we who are the works of the hands of Jehovah, we will give active praise. We will spread abroad the praise of our God. And we see that same parallel structure of Hebrew poetry. "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee." So you see in the second half of verse 10, "thy saints" is explaining who are those works. Who are those works that give praise to Jehovah? It is those who are the saints who have been sanctified by the work of Jehovah. What wonderful news What wonderful news to you and to me that Jehovah is good to you and to me. That Jehovah is good to all his people. Then we say, like the psalmist does in Psalm 73, truly the Lord is good to Israel. Truly the Lord is good to his church. Well, what does the Lord's goodness to you and to me look like? The Lord's goodness, beloved, to you and to me is the establishment of covenant fellowship. The Lord's goodness to you and to me is to graciously take you and take me, who are sinners by nature. It is God's goodness to take us into covenant fellowship with himself. That's the goodness of Jehovah. That's the goodness that our text speaks of when it says, his tender mercies are over all his works. That word in the Hebrew, tender mercies, is one word in the Hebrew. That word points to the picture. And when that word tender mercies is referred to people, it points to our inner organs. Of course, God doesn't have inner organs. But when someone has tender mercies, when they see someone in great need and they have a great desire to help that one in need, there's a feeling. And maybe the sense of that, we could capture that. Somebody who has butterflies, they have a tender affection. And that's the word that's used of Jehovah. He has that tender affection towards his people that he would bring us into covenant fellowship with himself. The whole psalm, in fact, describes that goodness of Jehovah. The psalmist begins by speaking of the mighty acts of God that are a display of his goodness. We could point to an example like Psalm 136 that goes through the mighty acts of Jehovah that show forth his mercy and his goodness. Well, God's mighty act, for example, of creating the heavens and the earth, that's not just a mighty act in the abstract, but that's a mighty act that serves his goodness. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? For Christ's sake, so that in Jesus Christ, he would establish his covenant with you and with me and with all of God's people. Those mighty acts, that mighty act of creating the heavens and the earth, are a display of the goodness of Jehovah. Or God's goodness, even more so, is shown in his mighty act of saving his people, saving Noah and his family from the wicked world through the flood. That mighty act of sending the flood and saving Noah and his family on the ark. Or God's mighty act of redeeming his people out of Egypt by a mighty hand, leading his people out of that bondage into the promised land. But now you see those mighty acts The flood and leading his people out of Egypt were pictures of his redemption of you and me. God's mighty act of sending Jesus Christ into the world, taking upon himself human flesh, the infinite God united with a finite human nature. Divine and human natures united in that one person of Jesus Christ. What a mighty act. And by a mighty act, redeeming us through his death on the cross, paying the price so that you and I could experience all the blessings of salvation. So that now, based on that mighty redemption, Jehovah comes to us by his Spirit, and by a mighty act, he regenerates us and gives us faith to believe the word of Jesus Christ and to take us into covenant fellowship with himself. Speaking to us in his word through the preaching of the word, and we speaking to him in prayer and in song, living before him all the days of our lives. In his goodness, we have been redeemed, regenerated, sanctified in a definitive way, and now sanctified progressively throughout our lives, preserved along the way, and given the hope of glory. What goodness of Jehovah that he shows to us. All for Christ's sake. And now you see why the psalmist, when he thinks of that goodness of Jehovah, he proclaims in verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. And then he goes on to describe it in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger and of great mercy. And now, beloved, when we see that that is the goodness of Jehovah, to bring us into covenant fellowship, then we can understand the goodness of Jehovah in all the other circumstances of life. When Jehovah brings difficulty into your lives or into my life, we don't say that now his goodness is not being shown to us anymore. No, indeed, through that very difficulty, Jehovah is showing his goodness in order to bring us closer to himself. And we can say that about every circumstance. The Lord is good. Every other circumstance that God brings into our lives by his fatherly hand is a manifestation of his goodness. Like I said at the beginning, we don't always see it, but it is always true. What goodness of God to give to us such a glorious inheritance, and to bring us on our way towards that glorious inheritance. Why is God so good to you and to me? What's the reason that Jehovah would be so good to us? Why is it that he sent forth Jesus Christ to die as a ransom for us? Why does he send his Spirit into our hearts to regenerate us and to give us the beginning of eternal life? Why is it that God preserves us along the way in his goodness? And we must know, beloved, that it is not for any goodness in ourselves. It's not that God looks down upon the mass of humanity and says, well, there is a pretty good person. I'm going to be good to them because they are better than that one over there. Not at all. In Adam, we had all rebelled against God. We had lifted, as it were, our fists into his face and said, we will determine for ourselves what is good and what is evil. By ourselves, beloved, all we deserved was the curse of God. The reason for his goodness to us must not be sought in ourselves. So why is God good to us? One reason, the text gives this reason, it's not the only reason, it's not even the main reason, but one reason that Jehovah is good to us is that we are the works of his hands. We are his works. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Exactly, beloved, because you and I are his works. We are his workmanship. That is to say, exactly because Jehovah has begun a good work in us, exactly because he has set himself to save us and has given to us life, exactly because he has already, before giving to us that life of regeneration, he has already paid for us with the blood of his only begotten Son. Exactly because we are his workmanship, he is good to us. And that's simply saying, beloved, that the work that God begins, that good work that he has started, he will continue that good work. He will continue that goodness until he completes it. He who is the author of our faith will also be the finisher of our faith. And he will show us his goodness the whole way along until we experience that perfect goodness in glory above. We are his works. And as his works, as those who are the objects of God's working grace, we ought to expect his goodness to be upon us. And yet we can still ask the question, why did God choose me? And why did God choose you? Why didn't he choose someone else when there are millions of others he could have chosen? And then we simply step back, beloved, and say, because that's what God chose to do. In his goodness, he chose a particular people for himself in Jesus Christ. He gave a particular group of people to his Son, Jesus Christ. That was his good pleasure. And then we step back when we consider that it wasn't anything in ourselves. And we proclaim with the psalmist again, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. He is good to us because he chose to be good to us. But there's an even deeper reason. The text gives us that one reason. He continues to be good to us because he chose to be good to us. But a deeper reason that is found throughout the entire psalm is his own namesake. Why is God good to sinners? Why is God good to us who were rebels against him by nature, who were his enemies in Adam? Why is God good to us? So that he himself would be magnified in the display of that goodness. So that he would bring glory to himself. And he has seen in his perfect wisdom that the way to bring glory to himself, as he deserves that glory, is to save such sinners as you and I are. And now we can understand why the psalmist, in so much of the psalm, is expressing words of praise. He begins the psalm, verse 1, I will extol thee, my God. I will lift thee up in my own estimation, and before others, I will lift thee up. My God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. You see, God shows us that goodness so that you and I will lift up his name, so that you and I would bless him forever and ever. He goes on, verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. As we consider the goodness of God day by day, we ought to praise his name. Verse 3, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable for all that goodness. When we consider that great goodness that God shows to us, when we try to peer into that greatness of Jehovah, why would he show me his goodness? It's as if we're peering into clear waters, but deep waters. And you can see down, you can see into the depths, you can see the sun's rays shining down into the water, but you can't see the bottom. It's unsearchable. That's Jehovah's greatness and goodness. He goes on with good reason. Verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. God in his goodness is good not only to us, but also to our children, our elect children in their generations, drawing praise to himself. And just to use one more verse, verse 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, That's why God makes you experience His goodness and makes me experience His goodness, so that you and I would praise Him for that goodness. And He alone, beloved, deserves that praise, because salvation is all of Him. The text doesn't call us partly God's work and partly our own work. The text simply calls us His works. We are His works because all of our salvation is His work. God's unsearchable greatness is manifested in that glorious work of salvation. That's why we say His greatness is unsearchable. There's great comfort in that, beloved. In the words of our text, in the truth of our text, there's great comfort when the psalmist, the inspired psalmist, proclaims, "The Lord is good to all." And when we understand that the "all" there refers to all of His elect people, what a wonderful thing. The Lord is not good only to some of His saints, say those who have no difficulties, who have a life of ease or whatever. Some might say, well, the Lord is good to them, but what about those who are suffering? No, the text proclaims His goodness is to all of the saints. The Lord's goodness is to the most elderly of saints who might be on their deathbed drawing their last breath. And His goodness is also shown to those elect even in the womb, and those just born into the world, those who are His elect. The Lord's goodness is to those who are married and those who are single. The Lord's goodness is to children and to adults, to every one of His people. The Lord is good. And it's striking and significant that the psalmist uses the title for God, Lord, in all capitals. Children, you understand that refers to the name Jehovah. Whenever the word Lord is in all capitals, or also when God is in all capitals in our King James Version, that refers to Jehovah. And that tells us something about that goodness of Jehovah. If it is Jehovah who shows that goodness, and since it is Jehovah, that tells us, in the first place, about God's sovereignty. Jehovah, who is the great I Am, who is absolutely above the whole creation, He sovereignly does whatever He pleases, so that when He wants to show His goodness, He shows His goodness. The sovereign Jehovah. None can stay His hand. None can say to Him, "What are you doing?" and stop Him from showing His goodness. The psalmist in Psalm 73 struggled with that truth. He wondered, why is it, if Jehovah is good, Why is it that I am suffering and all the wicked, they seem to have a life of ease? And he struggled with that truth until he went into the sanctuary and understood the gospel. And understood that God's goodness is not necessarily shown in the outward circumstances, but God's goodness is in the fact that God brings us near to himself, that God brings us into covenant fellowship with himself and leads us throughout our lives, and eventually at his appointed time will take us to glory. The sovereign Lord shows his goodness wherever he wants to, exactly in the way that he has determined. But in the second place, the fact that it is Jehovah, the great I Am, who shows that goodness also teaches us that he never changes in that goodness. That's related to his sovereignty. But Jehovah, the great I Am, is not one who was something yesterday and now is something different today, and then again tomorrow will be different. But he simply is the I Am. And that means the goodness that he determined to show us in eternity, the goodness that he set upon us in time, never changes. He doesn't show us his goodness one moment, and then the next moment determines to stop that goodness, and then the next moment determined to show us that goodness again. He never changes. Malachi 3 verse 6 tells us, "For I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now it may be we don't always see that goodness of Jehovah, but it is there nonetheless. When you and I wander in sin, beloved, God doesn't stop his goodness, but in his goodness, he pursues us, chastises us in his love to bring us back to himself. Psalm 23 speaks of that goodness of Jehovah. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That goodness is always there because Jehovah is unchanging. The Lord is good. Jehovah, the sovereign, unchanging God, is good to all his people, all of the time. But that still leaves one question. There may be some who say, I believe that. Jehovah is good to all his people all of the time. But how do I know that I am one of them? How do I know that Jehovah is good to me? That's a good question. And the answer, beloved, is that because Jehovah is the one who shows that goodness, because he is the sovereign God who shows that goodness is efficacious. That goodness comes to us, reveals to us the truth of Jehovah, so that in his goodness, God gives to us the spiritual life and gives to us spiritual eyes, so that when we read Scripture, we say to ourselves, "This is the truth I know this is the truth. That's God's goodness, to open our eyes to the truth of Scripture, to believe that everything God declares from beginning to the end of the Scriptures, everything He says is absolutely true. That's God's goodness. The wicked, beloved, don't have that attitude towards Scripture. They say, what a bunch of nonsense. Yes, there are some true things in there, but they don't believe God's word by faith. God's goodness is not shown to them. God's goodness opens our eyes so that we, like the psalmist, say, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. God works in us in His goodness as He shows us His goodness. He loves us, and therefore we love Him. We love Him exactly because He first loved us. That's an evidence, beloved, of His goodness to you. Do you see the greatness of Jehovah? Do you see how by His mighty word He created the heavens and the earth? Do you see the wonder of Him sending His only begotten Son into the world? That's His goodness. The wicked reject those truths. But in His goodness, His efficacious goodness, He opens our eyes to those things. Especially, He opens our eyes to see our sins and our sinfulness so that we say, yes, I have sinned against God. And I do deserve the torments of hell. And now God in His goodness, He brings us to that knowledge. He doesn't leave us there. But as He shows us our sins, He also shows us Jesus Christ, who took upon Himself all that curse that you and I deserved. He shows us He is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. For Christ's sake. And now, what will be your response and my response to that goodness of Jehovah? When we consider that goodness, we ought to say, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, what circumstance can separate us from that goodness of God? May this be our response. As the psalmist at the very end of the psalm, he says, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. May we ever praise the Lord for His goodness. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast revealed to us Thy goodness, and that Thou art good to us always for Christ's sake. May we ever praise Thee for that. And where we have fallen short, where we have sinned against Thee, may we look to Thee also to continue Thy goodness to us, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all sin for Christ's sake. We ask this in His name. Amen.